Hi, and welcome to the Salvation Army Southwest podcast. You'll find engaging messages here, so please go ahead and listen and check out some of our other messages and enjoy what you hear. You can always follow us online on our Facebook page or go to our website to find out more information. Thank you for listening.
It is good. I just want to share with you something today that God is sharing with me. God has been speaking to me in the last 2 weeks, and this message comes out of what God is telling me. And I'm praying and hoping that it challenges you. So that's the prayer. God's talking to me. I just want to share what God is saying in dealing with me, and hopefully this is going to challenge you, and challenge you to go deeper with God, right? Who wants to go deeper with God? Yeah, cool. Most of the place. That's good. So I want to set it up like this. Let me set it up, because it's going to take me a bit to get to where I want to get to today. But let me set it up like this. Who has ever set a goal in life? Yes? What are some of the goals? What have you set? Anyone want to scream? Sorry? To lose weight. Okay, yep. Normally we hit that one at January 1st, don't we? And then by January 5th we've broken it. Anyway, goals, anyone else? Scream it out. Find work, yep. Get better, yep. What else? Goals to what? Be better, yep. That's a good goal. That's a good goal. I did some research during the week, and I come up with some common traits for goals. But goals change depending on your age. So if you're in your 20s, right? Actually, if you're in your teens, your goal is really just to stay in your room, stink up the place, and play Xbox or PlayStation all day long. That's your goal. But if you're in your 20s, your goals center around finding a paying job, finding a good job, finding a wife or a husband, a partner to spend life with, maybe buying a house and doing that, and live life. Live a bit of life. You got no money at that age, but yeah, want to live a bit of life, you know, to do a bit of travel and stuff like that. If you're in your 30s and your 40s, the common goals were surrounding surviving your children when they're teenagers. Because you've got to drive them here and there and to this sports and that sports and to work and the mess that they make and the fact that they walk out of their room and grunt at you and trying to survive the fact that you don't kill them. So in your 30s and 40s, you do that. Actually, some of the goals in there too is finding a management job, finding, you know, bettering your career, that type of thing, paying off your house, you know, that kind of stuff. And I'm not there yet, but I imagine when you hit your 60s and you're older, the goal will be simply to get out of bed without pulling a muscle. I don't know. I'm not there yet, but I'm imagining that could be the goal. Just to retire and to enjoy life and to enjoy all the stuff that you've kind of worked for your whole life. But when it comes to goals and directions, we see them all the time. Like this church has to set goals as part of its mission plans, and we have to set goals. As an officer, I have to set goals. As workers, we all set goals throughout life. And the scriptures talk about, or Jesus talks about, possibly setting a goal as a Christ follower. And what I want to do is I want to look at this passage, a passage you probably are familiar with, the passage we saw on the screen just a few seconds ago, and look at it through the lens of setting goals. Can we do that? Great. So if you've got your Bibles, open them up. Matthew chapter 13. We're going to be starting at verse 3. Just to set the scene for you, Jesus is in a boat. He's just rowed off a little bit, the crowds around him, and he is teaching the people all this stuff. And he tells these stories, and he starts by telling this story. By the way, if you don't have a Bible, grab one on the way out. It's yours to keep. You can take it home with you if you need a Bible at home. And we've got you covered anyway. The words are going to be on the screen. I'm going to read 5 verses straight through. All right? A bit different for me. Normally I read a bit, scream a bit, read a bit, scream a bit. So, but I'm trying to set this up. I'm trying to set this up. Verse 3. Here we go. You ready? 1, 2, 3. Are you ready? That's about 10. You ready? All right. That's everyone. All right. Cool. Verse 3. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow seed. Verse 4. As he was scattering the seed, some fell on the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on the rocky place where it did not have much soil. It sprung up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came out and the plants were scorched, they withered because they had no root. Verse 7, other seeds fell on the thorns, which grew up and choked out the plants. Verse 8, still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 160, 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, do you have ears today? Whoever has ears, let them hear. Now, if you've been in churches for a while, this is a familiar story, right? We know this story if you've been in churches for a while. It's a story, if you don't know the story, let me just give you who the characters are in the story, because it is a parable. It's meant to teach us a little bit about what the kingdom of God is like, and that's what Jesus was doing. He's teaching about the kingdom of God. And the one throwing out the seeds, well, that's God. He's throwing out the seeds. The message of the kingdom of God, the truth about the kingdom of God have been thrown out. The seed is the same no matter where it lands. The message is the same, yeah? Right. So we're meant to learn about the kingdom of God, who God is, how we live in the kingdom of God, what the kingdom of God's rule is like. All that kind of stuff sits in this message of truth that is thrown out with the seeds. Then it hits the four different types of soil, or the four different places. The hard ground, or the path, hits the shallow ground, the thorny ground, or the good soil, right? It hits one of those four places. So the hard ground, the shallow ground, the thorny ground, or the good soil. And this represents the four different ways that we respond to the seed, right? Keeping track? Pretty easy so far. So for whatever reason, three out of four places, or three out of four people who hear or get this seed given to them, do not get it. Only the last one gets the message. Only the last one understands the kingdom message and gets what the seed is trying to do, what the message is trying to do. Three of them just simply don't get it. 75% of where the seed lands dies. You tracking with me so far? We're only just setting it up. I'm still trying to set this up, right? And if we're honest, as Christ followers, people who believe in Jesus, the goal would be to be in the fourth category, is it not? To be the good soil, to be that place where when God throws seeds into our hearts and into our lives, it sprouts and grows. Make sense? That's our goal. That's what we want. Is that your goal? Just quick hands up. Just so I know that people are actually listening and tracking with me. The goal is to allow everything that God throws, every message about the kingdom, to hit our hearts, the good soil, and to grow, to develop, to take root, to actually come to fruition in our lives. Yeah? And according to this, if that happens, then we will see a harvest. We'll see a crop produced 160, 30 times what was sown, to produce a crop from that seed that's planted in us. And according to Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, that fruit or that crop or that harvest is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Yeah? Just a little bit. It's one fruit, nine parts. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. So this is the goal. To grow what God has put in us. To grow in our capacity to love. To grow in our to deeper levels of peace. A peace that's beyond understanding. To grow and have more joy than we did the year before. This is the goal, is to produce a harvest, to produce from that seed something in our lives, what God is doing in our lives. This is the goal, to be good soil, right? You're tracking. We all agree there. We're great. Great. Now, I like to think that I've got good soil, that my heart is good soil, right? And if this is the goal, God says to me, if you're good soil and you want to produce a good crop, then are you growing? Is that happening in your life? And I've got to be honest, I wanted to say yes. I really did want to say yes. Because God took me to a time and reminded me of when I was living in Narrogin. And Zoe and I were so young and I was going to say dumb. Naive is probably a better word for it. We were selected. We were young. We had a five-month-old baby. So, you know, baby, we had a two-and-a-half-year-old that just was energetic. Let's put it there. We had not been to training college yet, so we had no theological training. And we were given a core of less than 10 people. I think it was like 6 people. And we were told to pretty much love this core. The divisional commander of the day kind of appointed us there, and we went off to Narrogin. We lived there for a while. And I remember having a discussion with the second in charge of the state, the divisional secretary at the time, and just saying, what's the average healthy growing rate of a core? His answer was, if it's healthy and growing, which most of them are not, he said, a healthy growing core is about 1 to 5% a year. In my head, I went, that's easy. We just need a quarter of a person every year for 4 years. Like, we get one new person over 4 years and phew, we've made it. You know, we're healthy and growing. But I remember just thinking, that's it? I remember thinking, crazily thinking, that's it? That's all? I remember thinking, like, what? And so I started going to pray over all the chairs because I'm like, we're going to fill this place. Remember, no training. We've got a five-month-year-old baby. We have a two-and-a-half-year-old that's energetic. We're naive. You know, we just loved God. That was all we had for us. And I remember thinking, we're going to fill this place. I remember saying to the divisional secretary, we're going to smash that. And so help those that are on the streets, because I had a megaphone like this one, and I would literally just hang out of car windows with my megaphone as I was driving, going, grace and peace, to people that were just nearby. If they didn't know who Jesus was, right, I was taking them out. Like, I was going out to, hey, you need to know Jesus. And I was witnessing more than you could. I was trying to drag people to church. We were picking people up. Like, we were doing all that. And I remember being stupidly crazy because I believed that God could grow this church and that we would fill the place. We were there for 16 months. That's it. This photo was taken 3 weeks before we left. God is good, yeah? God is good. 3 weeks before we left, that was the photo. Not much seating room left because there's a whole pile of people standing. God is good. But it wasn't because of anything we did. We were just crazy. Young. We didn't have any wisdom. There was no wisdom in any of it. There was no Zoe had wisdom. I didn't have wisdom. Zoe's got wisdom. I didn't have any wisdom at all. I was just young, overpassionate maybe, crazy, screaming at my car with my megaphone, just insane stuff. And God says to me this week, or last week, so you're producing a crop. Have you gone backwards or forwards? And as much as I want to be in the fourth group of people, I want to be the good soil that God, when God puts something there, I had to actually come to the place of going, actually, I think I may be in categories 1, 2, or 3 instead of in category 4, where the good soil is. I wish that everything that God had put in my heart since that time actually stayed and growed. Some of it landed on the path and has disappeared. Some of it has not taken root and gone, just withered. Some of it has been choked out by life. And I've put it behind kind of this idea that I'm now older and I'm now a little bit wiser and I have a little bit more self-control. I've hidden it behind all these other things. But the truth of the matter is my heart has a problem. My heart has a problem. And the truth is your hearts do too. You see, in verse 15, the disciples, after they hear this parable, the disciples, they come to Jesus and they say, what does it mean? Tell us the story behind the parable. Tell us what it means. So Jesus starts to discuss it. But in verse 15, he says something that is really interesting. He says that their hearts, or the soil, has become calloused, or their hearts have become calloused. Right? You know what a callus is on your fingers and stuff? Yep. Right? The literal Greek translation to that is grown thick. It's pretty much what a callus does. It grows thick. And the truth is that the older we get, we naturally get stuck in our old ways. The older we get, we kind of hide it under, well, we're a little bit wiser now. We're a little bit, you know, this now. Like the truth is that our hearts can grow thick. And so when the seed hits it, it doesn't take root. Does that make sense? Am I the only one who kind of has this problem, this heart problem, or do you guys have it as well? Because if I'm the only one, I'll stop preaching right now and I'll just walk off, we'll sing the last couple of songs and go home. Like, come on. Let's be honest. Let's be really, really honest in the room today. Who has this problem? Put your hands up if you do. Yeah. Yeah. See, our hearts need help because they get thick. Bit like my brain sometimes. It's a bit thick. We just need it. So in an attempt to give you something that you can take away today and help you tomorrow, because today we could clap and go, yeah, that was a great sermon, and we could just walk out. But then that seed has actually been just taken by the enemy. So in an attempt to give you something that is going to help on Monday and Wednesday and Friday, and get that thing, that goal of having good fruit grow from your heart, the good soil, let me give you three things. You up for three things? All right, number one. Here's the three things. Number one, if we want to set a goal of producing good fruit, then we first need to understand the word. Now, this is basic. Come on. Like, I know this is simple stuff, and I'm not giving you something that you don't know. This is understand the word. You see, just turn to someone and say, do you understand? Go on. Turn to someone and say that. When you did that then, you kind of were like, do you understand? Like, do it with a bit of attitude. Do you understand? Yeah, that's a bit better. You see, if you look at the explanation, and you can look at the explanation later on, but in verse 19, right, can I have verse 19 up on the board? Here it is. When anyone hears the message of the kingdom of God and does not understand it, say understand it, the evil one comes and snatches it away, what was sown in their hearts. You see, the whole problem or the whole fault, the why the first place failed, the path, the first group of people, why they failed is they did not understand the word. Now, before someone comes to me and says, do you understand everything in the Bible, Pastor? I'm going to tell you, no, I do not. I'm not God. I cannot fathom his ways. His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. His plans and ways are higher than my plans. I do not understand everything in the Bible. If the whole Bible was 1,000 pages, I might have 1 to maybe 2 pages down pat. That's it. But here's the thing, right? If we want to understand the word, then how about what we do is we just take one verse a day. Just one verse a day. Basic. I know this is basic stuff. But sometimes we need to recover over basic stuff and get it back into our hearts and minds again, right? Right? We take one verse a day and we read it and we think on it and we meditate on it like Joshua did. He meditated on the word day and night. The picture is like of a cow meditating. It goes into one stomach, then he brings it up and puts it into the second stomach, brings it up, puts it in third. That's what cows do. And then eventually into the fourth stomach and it goes out. Like, that's what cows do. Like, they call it churning the cud or something. What? Ruminating. Or whatever it's called. They're that thing. Right? Joshua did that. What if we did that? We took one verse and we read it and we thought about it and we meditated on it. We even Googled it and read some commentaries behind it. Right? That's just taking it to make sure they're good commentaries. Because that will transform our lives. That will ensure the seed has a good amount of soil for it to hit in. You see, when we do this, when we understand the word, what it does is it takes God's word from simply information and makes it transformational. Yeah? Come on, this is good stuff. You should actually make a bit more noise than that. It takes God's word from just information and it takes it to transformation. This is what it does when we start to understand the word. And then what God is laying in our hearts, in that it will sprout. It will grow. The second thing that, the goal, if we're to produce a good harvest, a good fruit in our lives, if we're to have, you know, more love, more peace, more joy, all that kind of stuff, then we need to obey the word. Now, this is awesome what I saw here, because I've been reading this scripture wrong for like my whole entire life. Yes, there are times when I read scripture wrong and get it wrong. But I've just saw something in this that is so good that you got to love it. You ready for it? You got to obey the word. Again, simple stuff, right? Simple stuff. Can I have the verses come up? Right, here we go. Really go. The seed falling on the rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and then at once receives it with joy. Next verse. But since it had no root, they last only a short time. While trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Now, leave that verse up there for a second. Right? I always thought the word was, you know how it says because of the word? I always thought that word was world. Because of the world. Trouble and persecution from the world. And it was from the world. I could understand that. I get that. That makes sense in my head. But I've never seen the persecution and trouble from the word. In other words, the seed started putting pressure on the soil and the soil didn't want to allow the seed to grow. Does that make sense? Right? Now, and it's not about not having enough soil in itself, right? Because where's that plant? I got given this plant 4 years ago. This one here. Thanks, Sue, by the way. Still alive. 4 years ago I've had this one. It's actually a plant growing on volcanic rock from Indonesia. Every time I go on holidays, I email at least 3 people and say, water my plants. And Billy does. I email him 3 times about watering my plants. He doesn't need an email. He just waters them now for me. It's great. But it teaches me, like looking at this, I understand that we can grow in hard places. We can grow where there's not a lot of soil. So it's not about the amount of soil. It's about allowing that seed to actually grow. Make sense? The seed, it hits the soil, and as it starts expanding, as the trouble for the soil starts to hit, and then the soil goes, no, I don't want to do that. And this is the same with us. Right, we become Christians, we start to learn a little bit about the word, and then we read something in the Bible, or we read something from God's word, or God tells us something, and we go, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that, God. And we become hard, we become thick. And we either walk away, going, this whole God stuff is just not for me, or we just don't allow anything to grow, because our hearts have become hard. Does that make sense? You see, this is something that rings true. See, God is planting stuff in there, but if our hearts are not willing to change, then it's not gonna grow. It's not gonna develop. It's not gonna come to fruition. And I've heard the excuse that God just wants to change me and make me a totally different person. That is partially true. He will transform you. The old is gone, the new has come. But he won't take your personality away. He won't take who you are essentially away. He just wants to give you a new operating system to work from. A new base, so to speak. A new standard of living to live up to. And so God starts putting these things in, but we have to accept them. Make sense? I always thought when I was called to be a pastor, I couldn't do it because I like to joke around and be silly and, you know, as I've got older, maybe I've got a little bit wiser with that. But God says, no, I don't want to change that part of you. I just want to make you the best version of you that you can be. Does that make sense? And he knows how to do it. He knows how to do that. I'm going to get Chris to come up, start playing the keys, maybe in a minute. Wherever she's, when she gets into the room, just give her the key symbols and He's probably just going to the toilet or something. Like, I get that. I feel bad now because this is going to be recorded for quality assurance and training purposes. No, it's not. But it is recorded and online for the world to see. when she comes into the room, we'll get her to start playing keys. The third thing I want to show you, if we want to have a goal where we produce a harvest, produce a crop in our life to actually allow that to become 160, 30 times what was originally planted, is we need the right environment. See, this was the third place's problem. The first problem for the first place where the seed landed was that it didn't understand. And so the devil took it. The second, shallow soil, they weren't willing to do. They weren't willing to obey. The third one, the third place where the seed landed, right, had a bad environment. Bad environment. Now, a number of years ago, I think I may have actually shared this story with you guys. So if I have, too bad, you get to hear it again. A number of years ago, we were living in Kalgoorlie, and I got a chance to go gold detecting. Have I told you this story about gold detecting? I don't know. Maybe you're looking blank at me, so I'm just going to assume I haven't, or I have. Now my uncle was there, and he took me out to go gold detecting. My uncle had actually married my auntie after her first husband had passed away, so this was her second husband. And so I didn't know this guy, apart from the fact that he had married my auntie, and we got a chance to go out gold detecting. So he had never met me, I'd never met him, but we were going out gold detecting, and we jump in the car, he picks me up at some awful time in the morning, like 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock. I know for some of you get up at 4 and we pray for you. But he picks me up at 6 and we go out in the car, and he was in the car and it looked like he had ants in his pants, you know, when they want to say something but they keep stopping themselves for saying it. You know, if you kind of like when I went and asked Zoe's parents if I could marry their daughter, like I really wanted to get it out really quickly, but it just wasn't coming out, and I looked really like awkward trying to get this thing out. That's what my uncle was like. About 15 kilometers into the journey, I realized what had gone on. My auntie had told him I was a priest. Now, this guy is a beer-drinking, typical Aussie that wears a blue singlet and just enjoys life. Like, he lives a bit too hard, parties a bit too hard, that kind of stuff. Good bloke, do anything for you. But he was rough as guts. And, Norm, he was a Norm, yeah. Not like your Norm, but another Norm. All right, okay, cool. All right, just had to clarify. Anyway. So we're out on this drive, we're going out, he's like kind of, you know, ants in pants, trying to speak, then stops and just pulling himself back, and it's kind of really awkward. And I said to him, dude, because I realised what was going on, I said, dude, don't look at me like a priest or a pastor or a Bible man, I'm not going to thump you over the head with the Bible, just look at me like your nephew. Anyway, the next thing that came out of his mouth was, thank beep for that. And then for 2 hours pretty much straight, all I heard was swear words. Every second word was swear words. And I even learned some new ones, which is pretty good because I lived a pretty bad life. But I started to learn all these words. So we go out gold detecting. I actually found some gold, not enough to build a new church, but enough to maybe buy a cup of coffee. And so we were on the drive back in. And as we were talking, I swore too. And I didn't even realize it until it came out my mouth. Right there, I realized that environment matters. Proverbs says it like this, walk with the wise and you'll become wise. Walk with companions of fools and you'll suffer harm. In other words, you become who you hang around. Your environment matters. If you want to swear better, hang around people who swear. If you want to steal better, hang around people who steal things. If you want to become more holy, hang around people who are holy. If you want to be a great businessman and grow your business, hang around people who have done that, who have grown businesses. If you want to have good soil, then you need to hang around people who have got good soil. Because you cannot produce a crop if you've got things choking you out. Make sense? That was the problem of the third person. The goal to produce a harvest, we need to understand the word, we need to obey the word, and we need to have the right environments for the word to grow. So today, I just, as I said, this is what God is sharing with me. But I guarantee you, in fact, I don't bet, but I could bet in this case because I know I'd win. So it's not really a bet because it's a certainty that a lot of you are in the same category. Sometimes the heart grows hard and our hearts have problems. Yeah? Our hearts sometimes get thick. And we need to cultivate our hearts. We need to cultivate the soil so that when God drops something in, it grows, producing a harvest of 160, 30 times. So we're going to sing this song, a beautiful song, Purify My Heart. Let me be as gold and precious silver. The process of gold, you take it out of the ground and you melt it down and all the impurities kind of boil to the top. And they scrape that off, it's called the dross, they scrape it off and then they reset it, becoming more pure. I couldn't find a song that said cultivate your soil. It doesn't exist. I'm not writing a song. Not today anyway. Not today. But we need to cultivate our hearts. We need to purify our hearts. We need to make sure our hearts don't have a problem. And part of that is just simply saying to God, God, I have a heart problem. Help me to cultivate it so that when you do drop seeds in, it will grow. So if God has spoken to you today, I want you to stand through the song as we sing. We're going to get the singers back up. We're going to get the band back up. We're going to sing this song, Purify My Heart. Let me be as gold and precious silver. Purify my heart. Because I want to be more like you. See, that's the goal, to produce a harvest. Produce a harvest, produce good fruit. So let's sing today this beautiful song. And if God's speaking to you, you can stand right where you are.